about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
Hour number two of The Rob Carson Show. We're going to get into the case in New York City that was cobbled together by the third highest official in the Biden DOJ who left that position to take on this case in New York to interfere in the election. It's not working, despite the obvious bias of the judge and the venue and the city and all of that. And Donald Trump goes out this morning, stands in front of construction workers and gets a massive, unheard of reaction. We've never seen in our lifetimes, we have never seen the public expressions of love and patriotism we have been seeing for the last 9 years for Donald Trump. You remember the 10,000 vote flotillas? Do you remember before 2020 the 90-mile line of traffic, Trump supporters outside of, I believe it was Phoenix? Never. And they've done everything they can to make it like, oh, that doesn't mean anything, which is just stupid. Joe Biden couldn't fill he couldn't attract a crowd at a Mahjong tournament at the Villages. All right, it couldn't even happen. And literally, he gets more protesters now and more media. Well, he's always gotten more media than people who wanted to hear him even talk. It's always been a joke. It's always been the mainstream media, the deep state, and the Democrat Party against us. And it's doing a face plant. Fabulously, it's doing a face plant, and he's getting more popular, and the more that people try to put out this fire, the more the fire rages. I mentioned that when I first got out of college, two revolutions happened, one Tiananmen Square, one Berlin Wall. One was crushed. The other, the totalitarian regime of the Soviet Union fell. It fell for a number of reasons. Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher, Pope John Paul. Lech Walesa. All right? Also, Glasnost and Perestroika, which were free market reforms of the Soviet Union. And once people finally caught wind of the life they could have in freedom, that's when it fell. In China, the opposite. A couple thousand students, Tiananmen Square. Attempt to offer free market reforms, just iron-fisted communism. And they allowed it to happen and allowed it to happen. And one night they just turned off the lights, just turned off the lights. Kind of like what the DHS, the FBI, the DOJ, and all these government agencies did with your ability to talk about the 2020 election or COVID. Just turned off the spigot. You can't hear about it. You can't see it. And what did they do? The lights went out. The media went dark. And they crushed them to death, and they washed their bodies into the storm drains, and that was over. And the United States was back in China's pants again with George H.W. Bush, like it never even happened. Well, this revolution has never taken place in a country that has 250 years of history, being the greatest engine of individual and economic freedom in the history of mankind. This has never been tried in a country that has a First Amendment backed up by a Second Amendment. Now, they've made some advances. They took away our ability to talk. They took away our ability to go to church. They took away our ability to run a business. They took away our ability to educate our children. They wrecked a lot of people's lives. But they've never put the fire out. And now the fire is raging more than ever. And if the Democrat Party was smart, they'd get out of the way. And they look at themselves in the mirror and go, what the hell have we become? But they won't. But they won't, because they're girding for a fight. But we are better armed intellectually, physically, and morally than they will ever be. They will not win. They will not win, because nobody's going to side with them. Nobody with the ability to fight us is going to side with them. They just make a lot of noise. They just have, you know, they've got the DOJ, they got the FBI. They can't arrest all of us. And nobody's watching their stupid mainstream media propaganda bullcrap anymore. But let them keep pushing it, man. Let them keep going down this road. Let them keep shooting themselves in the foot. Let them keep bedding down with terrorists and saying, you know what, we don't want to lose those radical Islamists in Dearborn. So we're going to say that we understand why the Palestinians murdered all those people on October the 7th. Yeah, see how well that works for you. Bibi Netanyahu, he commented yesterday, because, you know, he's the president of Israel, and right now he is leading them in a existential battle against an evil after a second Holocaust was committed, and he is committed to destroying Hamas, which has to happen, by the way. That's it. Evacuate the innocent, raise Gaza, no two-state solution. You had your two states. You bleeped it up. I told you this on 9/11. They were throwing candy to children as Americans burned to death and were crushed to death in New York and a field in Pennsylvania and at the Pentagon. And they were throwing candy to those kids. And those kids went back to school and they told them that you got to hate the Jews and you got to hate the Jews and you got to wipe the Jews out. You got to hate the Jews and you got to wipe the Jews out. And then we're going to wipe from the river to the sea. Palestine will be free and all of this and all of this. And then they grew up and they were the ones that carried out October the 7th. And they put Hamas in power in 2005. You had your chance, you blew it, and you just screwed the pooch with the October the 7th attack. And Israel ain't giving up. Not giving up. That's why the left is gnashing its teeth and showing its claws, like in Where the Wild Things Are, my favorite book of all time. And they're doing it on college campuses. And it's gotten a lot of people very concerned about it because it echoes the 1930s Germany when they started banning Jewish professors in 1933, culminated in Kristallnacht. Yeah, and we see this history repeating, and we ain't going to let it happen. But here is Bibi Netanyahu juxtaposed with Nancy Pelosi, who I cannot wait to retire so she can go back to that house made of candy in the woods where she lures children in and fattens them up and then eats them. But here they are juxtaposed. This is Bibi Netanyahu versus Nancy Pelosi.
What's happening on America's college campuses is horrific. Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over leading universities. They call for the annihilation of Israel. They attack Jewish students. They attack Jewish faculty. This is reminiscent of what happened in German universities in the 1930s. Yeah. It's unconscionable. Yeah. It has to be stopped. It has to be condemned and condemned unequivocally.
We recognize Israel's right to protect itself. We reject the policy and the practice of Netanyahu. Terrible. He's ultimately responsible
for it. Is he a block to peace, Benjamin Netanyahu?
Oh, he has been for years. I don't know whether he's afraid of peace, incapable of peace, or just doesn't want peace. But he has been an obstacle to the two-state solution. I emphasize the word solution. So he's been a problem.
I wonder when she gets up in the morning if she looks outside and looks up to see if a house might drop on her. As Alan Dershowitz, he was a Democrat in good standing, and it finally took this pedigreed and degreed and intelligent and brilliant professor all of these years to figure out the Democrat Party is not on his side. Here he is talking about these protests on college campuses, and he's seen this happen before.
I represented a lot of the radicals in the 1970 who were protesters. What happened to those protesters? Some of them became actual terrorists.
Oh, yeah.
The Weather Underground, people like Kathy Boudin and Bernadette Dorn, they blew up American institutions.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because Bill Ayers, Bernadette Dorn, they were the ones that hosted Barack Obama's launch of his political career in their living room. That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
They blew up recruitment centers, and Bill Ayers and others. And I'm afraid that in the groups that are now yelling, "We are Hamas," they will become Hamas. When Hamas comes to this country, and it will, as it's coming to Europe.
It's already here.
Israel is not allowed to defeat it in Gaza. They are coming to a theater near you, and they will recruit some of these people who are standing outside of Colombia. Go to a synagogue that maybe doesn't have good security. Right. Do you know an army base? And these radical protesters will turn from advocates to insiders to actual terrorists.
Yeah,
I represent
anti-Semitic attacks have gone up 1,700% in this country since October the 7th. Let's go to Sean in Live Oak, California. Sean, welcome to the Rob Carson Show. Thank you for holding, my brother. What's up?
Greetings from West Libertardia.
Yes. What's up?
Well, I wanted to discuss what's happening in the colleges. And at first glance, you would wonder why the radical Islamists and the Marxists would team up. Mm-hmm. But I find that they have similar motivations. One
yes.
of the first things is that the ends justify the means.
Yes.
The other thing is they believe that you should be submitting to them.
Yes.
And the other is they both worship something. It's different. The radical Islamists worship Allah, and the Marxists worship the state.
Yes, yes. I had mentioned, and if you listen to the anti-Israel versus BLM talking points, they are exactly alike. They are they mirror it. And I've got a column I'm going to share by Zachary Faria yesterday that I cut out. I'm going to share it because I said this. They both talk about colonists, they're colonizers, they're on stolen land, and all of this. It's the same crap. And then you combine it with the radical Islamic philosophy of Sharia and the caliphate and all of that, and it is a match made in hell. And that's a great point. I appreciate your phone call. I got to take a break. I'm going to share this on the other side, but great point, and you're right. Marxism equals communism equals BLM equals Antifa, and now they've joined sides with radical Islam. Again, match made in hell. Details coming up on the other side of this. This is the Rob Carson Show. Hey guys, it's Carson. Our money loses value every year due to inflation. In fact, the dollar has lost over 98% of its value relative to gold. What if you could earn income in gold, which can't get inflated away, instead of dollars? Monetary Metals does just that. They offer the ability to earn income in gold, growing your total ounces over time by leasing or loaning your gold to qualified gold-using businesses. Earn 2 to 5% annually on your gold while supporting qualified businesses in the gold industry. Or if you're an accredited investor, you could earn even higher yields, double digits, in their gold bond offerings. You can open an account directly on Monetary Metals' website in less than 15 minutes. Fund your account by purchasing gold directly from Monetary Metals at less than 1% over spot, or you can use gold you already have. They provide free shipping and insurance and free storage and insurance for any metal in your account. Opt out of the dollar, central bankers, fiat currency, the corrupt financial system, and get your own personal gold standard with Monetary Metals. Visit monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information. Again, monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information or to get started opening your account.
Y'all about sick of this nonsense? Let's take America back. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It's a very easy jump from advocating for Hamas to joining Hamas and becoming a fifth column in this country that will endanger every American. So this is not only about Gaza, it's about Brooklyn. It's about Chicago. It's about Los Angeles. It's about Denver. It's about your family. And we have to stop it now, stop it in Gaza, and make sure that these people, students and non-students, mostly non-students, aren't allowed to move from advocates of Hamas to supporters and or co-conspirators with Hamas.
Well, praise Jesus and pass the mashed potatoes. It only took 23 years for Alan Dershowitz to finally figure it out. I think we were talking about this, I don't know, what was it, September the what, something in the 2001. What the hell happened then? Black Lives Matter and Palestinian activism are based on the same myths. I told you this. The October the 7th and then the faux bombing of the hospital. I told you. They use that to as an excuse to ignite these AstroTurf protests, which are backed by the Iranian regime around the country, just like the faux murder of George Floyd died of natural causes, loaded with fentanyl. And eventually the police officers involved in that are going to be released from jail. But they used it to ignite the country, create a narrative that wasn't true, was not true. The narrative that black people are being murdered by police officers has been a lie for since Rodney King. All right, it has. Look at the statistics. You know what the statistics are? How about black on black violence, murder 13 times the national average? How about that? Oh, and then that Israel's committing a genocide. A genocide. Yeah, based on lies. This piece by Zachary Faria. Cori Bush is comparing pro-Palestinian protests to the Black Lives Matter movement. They are alike in more ways than she can express, including that they're both built on myths. Black Lives Matter supporters who looted and burned businesses in Minneapolis and other cities. And it is pro-Palestinian protesters who are harassing and threatening Jewish students. Bush simply wants both movements to be immune from blame for not controlling their more radical supporters. Both movements are alike in some ways, including the fact that the radicalism is the point. Take Black Lives Matter Chicago chapter, celebrated October the 7th, the attack that killed 1,200 Israeli civilians, with a graphic glorifying the terrorists who use paragliders to infiltrate Israel. The organization deleted in a separate post but refused to acknowledge the massacre, mourning only for Palestinians. This was just 4 days after the massacre. More importantly, both movements are more alike because they are both based on myths. Black Lives Matter started on the myth of hands up, don't shoot, when in reality, Michael Brown was shot after and killed after assaulting a police officer who tried to grab his gun. Black Lives Matter is also based on a false assertion that black men are being hunted down by police officers, which is contradicted by data. The pro-Palestinian movement is based on a myth that Israel is perpetrating genocide, when the only genocide involving Israel and Gaza is the one Hamas wants to commit against Israelis. Both Black Lives Matters and pro-Palestinian movements are built on myths and the obedience of ignorant activists who don't understand the topics they are, and both draw protesters with violent and hateful tendencies. Yeah, pretty much. Ron DeSantis, here's the thing about Ron DeSantis. I didn't dislike Ron DeSantis. I just knew that his candidacy in this electoral cycle was folly because a whole bunch of people who voted for Donald Trump know that the federal government was involved in rigging the last election. And I said, I'm glad they went through the process. Nice, got him out there on the stage. Nikki Haley, she got to say her piece and all that. I knew it wasn't going to happen, but whatever. Nothing against you guys who are voting for him. I know what's in the hearts of the people who voted for Trump, and now I know that group's getting bigger. That's all. You just got to understand what's going on in flyover country. You just got to know what's happening in the hood. That's all. But here's Ron DeSantis talking about protesters that block traffic.
They're taking over bridges, and they're taking over roads. And first of all, you don't have a right to do that.
No, you don't.
You have someone get stuck in traffic. Yeah. How do you know if someone may need to get to a hospital? Someone may need to pick up a child somewhere.
Yep.
And you're just going to commandeer the road?
Nope.
Because you have this ideological prediction. They tried to do that in Miami. And what happened? In 10 minutes, they got dragged off the road where they belong. And we're not going to tolerate that.
Nope.
You look at...
Yeah, and you know what that means?
They're taking over bridge.
You know what that means to me? That you know what that says to me? That says permission. Permission. Yeah. Vroom, vroom. Bump the truck.
Protesters filled with hate. They shut down the Golden Gate. Move them all over. Run them all over. Run over protesters, blocking all our roads. If a protester gets in your way,
say go ahead, punk, make my day.
Move him on over. Run him on over. Run him all over if they don't step aside. Though it might leave a dent, make them a hood ornament. Run them all over.
Yeah.
If they don't move over, if they block our streets, they'll get what they deserve.
There you go, Jim Gossett. By the way, his Patreon page is patreon.com. Jim Gossett Comedy. Help him out. He just did a show on the 20th of this month and sold him out. Sold it out in Atlanta, and he already booked a new gig at June 15th. I'm going to do my best to get down there and meet you guys in Atlanta. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Fani Melis, Willis met with Kamala Harris before the Trump indictment. More and more we know about this, the more and more we know that all of these indictments have been coming out of the White House. I told you this at the very beginning. As soon as they launched the second one, as soon as they launched the second indictment, I said, oh, yeah, this is command and controlled out of the White House in an election year, and they're not fooling anybody. They're not fooling anybody. And here we go. Fani Willis literally going to the White House, meeting with Kamala Harris. Also, she was with there with the mayor of Atlanta. Yeah, the mayor of Atlanta. So it shows you how in the tank that the mayor of Atlanta, that Fulton County, that the Democrats in Fulton County and in Atlanta, in the Georgia bar, they should be ashamed of themselves. And all of this stuff is going to ultimately fail because it's based on lies and bullcrap. Coming up, we've got an update from Anthony Napolitano on this case in New York, where it's going, how's it going, and all of that. It's coming up next, and this is The Rob Carson Show. Sylvester Sloan had a character in the movies Judge Dredd. Maybe we should call Anthony Napolitano Judge Head because of that spectacular head of hair that he has. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. He joins us on the Newsmax hotline this morning. Hello, my friend. How are you today?
I'm fine, Rob. How are you?
I'm good. You know, another day.
Judge Dredd. I don't remember who that was. Was that one of the guys he fought?
Now, Judge Dredd is a comic book character. They called him Judge Dredd. And, you know, he was that classic, vigilante kind of thing. Man, Stallone. I'm offering some suggestions. Obviously, your superpower is your enormous knowledge and intelligence and also the spectacular hair. But let's move on. I won't bug you about the hair anymore. Let's talk about what's going on in New York City. I want to mention this. I see this morning. D.A. Bragg's attorney makes a fatal error when revealing underlying crime and hush money case. And I don't know if this is the fatal error is that the New York statute they cite only applies to elections within the state of New York and not federal elections. Is there any truth to that? That's what I'm reading this morning.
I read the same piece.
Yeah.
It is not written by a lawyer or a person with legal knowledge.
Yeah. Okay.
So the prosecutors, when they state that the following crimes were committed, hiding some sort of a payment for hush fund, in order to mask another crime, must say what the other crime was. Otherwise, there's a fatal flaw in their case.
Yes.
So if he hadn't articulated what the other crime was, the court would have asked him.
Okay.
I appreciate the attitude of the author of that piece, but it's a non-legal person who probably is unaware of what I just told you.
Well, I understand what you're talking about, and I brought that up this morning, Judge, because I read the piece, and these things always give you a little bit of hope, and then you realize it's a simplistic argument.
Yeah.
And you got to kind of be able to
The best hope here. Is Trump's trial lawyer, who's a gifted trial lawyer and cross-examiner. He has to destroy the credibility of three people. David Pecker, who's on the stand now, who's former Trump's best friend, but who cut a deal with the government to save himself.
Yeah.
Stormy Daniels, we all know who that is. And Michael Cohen, we know who that is. I would imagine that Todd Blanche, Trump's chief trial counsel, has already prepared and rehearsed his cross-examination.
Oh, yes.
But Trump's defense will rise and fall on Todd's ability to impeach the credibility of these witnesses.
Well,
it
should be, I would think, fairly easy with regard to Michael Cohen, being the fact that he spent time in prison. And he's proven that he's not, he is not truthful, which I kind of find ironic that so many people are wanting Michael Avenatti to take the stand for Donald Trump. Let's talk about the difference between Cohen and Avenatti as far as credibility is concerned. What are your thoughts about that, sir?
I can't imagine that they would put Michael Avenatti on the stand. First of all, they have to extricate him from federal prison in California.
Yeah.
And secondly, he has a character. Almost everybody in this case is a larger-than-life character.
Yes.
But Avenatti has almost as much baggage as Michael Cohen does. And I don't think they're going to go that route. Cohen has a tremendous amount of baggage. He's basically going to say to the court, I lied, I cheated, I did it for money, I lied under oath, I admitted it, I went to jail, I'm a different person.
Yes.
Don't believe the old Michael Cohen, believe the new one. And the court, and then the jury will either accept or reject that. But Todd Blanche knows how to cross-examine him for that. But here's the issue.
Yes.
Three key witnesses, Pecker, Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen, are each going to testify about private conversations with Trump. The only way to refute those conversations, if you can't destroy them on cross-examination, is to put Trump on the stand to give his version of those conversations. And that is a very, very risky, dangerous thing for Todd to do. I would so caution against that.
Yeah.
That if Trump wants to take the stand, I'd put something in his breakfast so he had an upset stomach and couldn't come in the courtroom. I mean, I just don't want my client when he's Donald Trump on the witness stand.
Yeah, yeah. Back to Avenatti real quick. I mentioned this last night. I saw Hannity talking about it, and he had Avenatti on from prison. Here's what Avenatti's doing. He's trying to get on the right side of a presidential pardon when Donald Trump becomes the president again. That's what's going on.
Probably.
That's exactly what's going on. Because he's been sentenced to 19 years in prison. Whether you think that is appropriate or overkill or whatever, that's what he's angling for. He's trying to get on the right side of history so Donald Trump will go, ding, and give him a pardon. So whatever that is worth. What do you suppose the goal of this trial is right now? I mean, right now we're getting a lot of salacious details about this, and that's going to be about as effective as the surreptitiously recorded P-word tape recorded by Access Hollywood. It's supposed to be off mic, which, by the way, was not a legal conversation. The producers should have made it very clear that the tape was not running. I've always said that was a bullcrap, nonsense thing. It's how guys talk, first of all, and second of all, it should never have been taped. It should have never been released, and they should be held liable for the release of that. That said, there's a lot of salacious details coming out. A porn star is involved in this and all of that. Do you suppose this is meant to not only sully Donald Trump's reputation, try to do this once again? We obviously know keep him off the campaign trail. That's failing completely. You've got the possibility that he could go to jail for contempt of court, and then you've got the possibility of a guilty verdict. What's the most do you suppose that the prosecution and this crooked judge could get out of this case?
Well, I mean, the prosecution could get a conviction. I can't imagine him going to jail, even if he's convicted of everything in this case, because he has no priors. It's not a crime of violence. And the maximum jail term, even if he's convicted of everything, is only 4 years. So it's extremely unlikely. It's more likely that he'll go to jail for violating the gag order than he would go to jail for being convicted. So I don't think he's going to go to jail at all. What will the prosecutor get out of the case? Re-election. This is what happens when you have prosecutors and judges that run for re-election. This is not the prosecutor's fault. This is the system. New York has very good aspects to its system, like letting the lawyers choose the jury. That's a great aspect of the system.
It is.
Like allowing prosecutors and judges to run for office seeking political contributions from the people they interact with and making promises is a terrible part of the system. That's what New York has had for 125 years.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, Judge, Stormy Daniels says she's never violated a gag order. Just wanted you to know that. Let me ask you about this case in front of the Supreme Court with regard to presidential immunity. I listened to it a little bit on the drive in this morning. You're not going to get a whole lot of listen to a half an hour of the testimony and the judge speak. What do you suppose is going to happen there with regard to presidential immunity? I know it's nothing's going to happen before November as far as Donald Trump being brought up on charges. But which direction do you suppose the Supreme Court is leading, or do you have an idea?
I think the Supreme Court is going to find that the president has immunity for core official acts. acts that are that he engages in that are expressly granted to him under the Constitution, but does not have immunity for private personal acts. And the court will then send the case back to the trial court and instruct her to determine what was core presidential and what was personal. That's a determination that can only be made by a jury.
Yeah.
So that means if I am right, there will be a jury trial. The only question then is when. And the trial judge in this case will have to instruct the jury, if you find that the defendant's behavior was within the scope of core presidential behavior, you must find him not guilty. If you find that his behavior was personal, you then will go through a checklist to determine whether or not you find him guilty. So basically, this becomes a defense at trial available for Trump. That's my read. I listened to all 3 hours and 20 minutes of the oral argument this morning. That's the direction in which I think they're going to go. Then it will become a race against the clock. Can the trial judge do this before November? She can if she doesn't do anything else, if she clears her entire docket.
Yeah.
But if she treats this as she treats other cases, he's got to get online, and there are many cases ahead of him.
I'm hearing more and more that this Judge Eileen Cannon, involved in the classified documents case, that there could be some discovery with regard to command and control of that case coming out of the White House and the DOJ. What's happening with regard to that case, and also touch on the Fani Willis case and Kamala Harris meeting with the mayor of Atlanta with Fani Willis?
Well, you know, again, these are people that run for office. The mayor of Atlanta obviously is popularly elected, as is Fani Willis. They're all African-American, including Kamala Harris in the group. So there's an innocuous way to look at this.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a mysterious way to look at it,
yeah,
which is let us know what we can do to help you put Trump away. It's not very much that the feds can do here. This is a state case. It's an outlier, just like the other cases against Trump, meaning it's, mm-hmm, not one that's brought every day.
Yeah.
It's very, very rarely prosecuted. A lot of us attempting to be neutral about this advised against using the RICO statute, but she used it anyway. In terms of Judge Cannon, I had not heard anything about the White House being involved. If they are, well, the president is the chief law enforcement officer of the land, and he's got an attorney general, and the attorney general is the boss of the special counsel. That would be their answer to that. What, mm-hmm, exactly the White House is discussing with the Department of Justice, I'm sure if you ask Joe Biden, he won't remember having had the discussion.
Yes, yes, yes. Judge, I got to tell you, I greatly appreciate your feedback. This has got to be like the Super Bowl for you, though. Because I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. So many balls in the air, so many different courts, so much going on politically, not only politically, but also with just the use of the law, the twisting of the law. This has got to be a terribly fascinating time for you. I don't think there's anything like this.
Our great boss, Chris Ruddy, gives me a lot of airtime in which
Good.
To do my best to explain it so that the non-legal people in the audience, which thanks be to God is almost everybody, can try and get a handle on it. I do my best to keep the politics out. You know,
I know you
Donald
do.
Trump is a longtime friend of mine. For God's sake, he interviewed me for the Supreme Court twice. He calls me on the phone. I know him and have great affection for him. But my job at Fox, at Newsmax, I've been at Fox for 3 years, and with you, is to give as neutral and fair and complete an explanation of the law and the legal procedures as I can.
Yeah. Well, I do appreciate it, my friend. Have a glorious weekend. I'm off next week, but I'd love to have you on after that. In the meantime, God bless you, my brother, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
I'm going to brush my hair, Rob.
Please do. I hope you got a big brush.
Have a great vacation. When you're back, I'm with you.
All right, bro. Let's take a break. It's a Rob Carson Show.
2,200 American servicemen killed.
All right, there we go. Sorry about that. A little technical fart there. welcome back to the Rob Carson Show. So, we are making some tremendous gains in Baltimore with regard to clearing the channel with the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge. Democrats are only concerned about what they're going to name the new one. But it did cause, and it will cause for many years, a major disruption in commerce, particularly with regard to hauling of hazardous materials and also getting your gas to your gas stations on the Eastern Shore. And also, you know, this is another example of a supply chain breakdown. We know what happened during the last supply chain breakdown. We didn't have any toilet paper, didn't have any paper towels, a lot of times didn't have meat, didn't have a number of things on our shelves. Also, I might add, a lot of medications are in short supply right now. And where do we get most of our meds? From China. Yeah, it's not just fentanyl anymore. Yeah, from China. So what happens if China decides to mess with us? And they already are, by the way. We all know that the communist Chinese are deeply enrooted in our government, in our academia, in our companies. They want to disrupt the infrastructure of our country. That is their goal. So what happens if you don't have your meds? You know, you worry about your having your water. You got to have extra water. You got to have extra food. You got to have spare tire. You got to have jumper cables. None of that matters if you don't have your meds. None of that matters if you don't have your life-saving meds. That's why the Wellness Company has put together this emergency medical kit and a travel kit and a pandemic kit, because your federal government was involved in shutting down a doctor's decision to make for treatment of COVID with regard to use. They said you could not take hydroxychloroquine, you could not take ivermectin. They said it was horse paste, and idiots like Terry Bradshaw and others said, oh, yeah, it's horse paste. Saved millions of lives. Those meds have saved millions of lives around the world. They are given out by the billions of doses around the world. And you can get them in your emergency medical kit now. I had to go and get hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin when I got COVID. By the way, I didn't get COVID working at the car dealership, shaking hands, not wearing a mask. I didn't get it until I went to New York City, the most vaccinated city in America. That's where I got COVID. And I came back sick, and I was looking all over the place. I'm like, what the hell? I've heard about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. And I had to jump through hoops, and I had to go to Florida, and I finally got it. I was already into the COVID. I was already experiencing pretty significant symptoms. It was crap, but it did make me feel better, and I lived, and I don't have a vaccine. So if you want to order an emergency medical kit from the Wellness Company, here's what you got to do. And I would suggest you do it now, all right? We're knee-deep in 2024. TWC.health/Carson. TWC.health/Carson. 10% is what you're going to save, all right? TWC.health/Carson. Nearly 50 traumatized Israeli revelers have killed themselves since the Nova Festival was attacked on October the 7th. Others sectioned due to psychiatric issues. That's what a survivor told Parliament. 50 Israelis in attendance at the Nova Festival have taken their own lives because they couldn't live after what they had seen. And yet you've got Democrats who are saying it didn't even happen. 360 people killed at the Nova Music Festival. It's like Lollapalooza. It's like any of these music festivals. Can you imagine 360 kids being murdered in America? Yeah. One of the survivors, each morning I wake up at 7 o'clock, I relive the moments when I was hidden in the bushes with the terrorists passing me by. Yeah. October 7th, attackers from Hamas and five other armed groups stormed southern Israel, raiding compounds, gunning down civilians, murdering and raping them through. Listen to this. Of the 30 people who tried to hide inside the festival toilets, only three survived. Remember that scene from Schindler's List when the little boy hid in the feces in the outhouse to survive? Many who stopped to hide in a ditch were later shot. Doesn't that sound kind of like the way they used to line up Jews and shoot them into trenches? It's remarkable. And there are people right now on university campuses who deny this is happening. It is absolutely remarkable when you think about it. I did post a video, a couple videos, with regard to what's happening on America's university campuses on Instagram and on Twitter. It's all under Rob Carson Show. My Instagram page is blowing up, and we do a lot of political stuff. We do some comedy stuff on there. We do all sorts of just Rob Carson Show at Instagram, Rob Carson Show at Twitter, a.k.a. X, which is Twix. All right. Check it on out. Let's take a break and come back. This, my friends, is the Rob Carson Show. All right. Final hour of the show today. At least one Secret Service agent has gone nuts having to protect Kamala Harris. Wouldn't you if you had to hear that voice every day? The FBI is whizzing on Ashley Babbitt's grave, literally persecuting her after death. And the feds are killing gas appliances in all federal buildings. And yours are next. This is the Rob Carson Show. Hey guys, it's Carson. You know, everybody knows the next medical crisis just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where the Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID, even a bioweapon like a plague, the Wellness Company medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, antiparasitics on hand to make sure you and your family are safe from whatever the globalists throw at us next. Go to www.twc.health/Carson. Again, twc.health/Carson today and order. That's twc.health/Carson and use the promo code Carson to save 10%.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is the Rob Carson Show.
This is the Rob Carson Show, hour number three, and we've got much to get to before the end of the show. The number is 800-922-6680. This is the headline on Breitbart. Trump trials, Pecker testifies. Okay. I know. I've got the sense of humor of a 14-year-old boy. And I hate to tell you this, but all of us do, really, honestly. I mean, there are some exceptions, but generally, even the most sophisticated men occasionally enjoy the humor of a 14-year-old boy. Stagflation shock, GDP growth slows much more than expected. While inflation increases and accelerates. How was that? We had the Inflation Reduction Act. Joe Biden said that the Inflation Reduction Act was going to reduce inflation because inflation was a problem, so they passed the Inflation Reduction Act. I mean, they wouldn't use like some sort of a crisis to make something up and create a solution that wasn't real so they could just pass through their agenda, would they? Oh, yeah, of course they did. Of course they did. It was crap. It was all about paying off their green energy cronies. It was all about hiring more IRS agents to go after you. And they don't give a crap about you. They will use any crisis to pass their agenda to make themselves wealthier, to make sure that they stay in power, to make sure that their cronies get their money, and they could give a crap about you. You know it. I know it. Welcome to it. Big surprise. The Inflation Reduction Act was a freaking joke. Of course it was. My God. You're saying it in real time. Inflation Reduction Act. I mean, look at it. Whatever, $1.5 trillion for stupid green energy crap that nobody wants. And 87,000 IRS agents. Oh, gee, I wonder what they're going to do with the IRS leaders. Derpy, 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 derp. I just think they think we're stupid, but we're not stupid. And there we are. Here we are. Here we are. Unbelievable. And then this green energy nonsense. Of course, it's all nonsense. Listen to this. So Biden is banning gas stoves and appliances in federal buildings because he can, right? Yeah. Biden administration finalized a rule Wednesday that bans the use of natural gas in new federal buildings. This on the heels of the stoppage of exports of natural gas, the cleanest burning energy there is other than nuclear. But you see, we export natural gas and China doesn't. Yeah. We've got plenty of natural gas. China doesn't. What does China have? Oh, a whole lot of solar stuff and a whole lot of batteries and all of that stuff. It's almost like Joe Biden was bought and paid for by the Chinese. Yeah, it's kind of almost like that. Oh, no, it is. He absolutely is. He is completely compromised. Completely compromised. But you know what? Here's the media. The media told us. They told us that they weren't going to take away gas stoves. The media. They said it. You have to believe the media because, you know, they're the media.
You might think that the U.S. government is coming for your gas stove. That is a new and absolutely ridiculous one.
Turns out Fox News and Republicans are up in arms because they say the government is coming to take your stoves.
What Republicans are saying is, damn it, they're going to take your gas stove.
GOP.
Oh, she got all girlfriend there for a second.
Stoking a ridiculous new freakout about gas stoves. No one is taking your gas stove.
The right-wing freakout over the use.
This is why nobody's watching MSNBC, CNN, and these other networks now.
Of gas stoves is merely the latest in a long series of made-up culture war battles designed to enrage and rile up their right-wing and paranoid base.
Republicans are prone to conspiracy theories, whether it's, you know, the kooky like JFK Jr.
Oh, that's S.E. Cup. S.E. Cup. That's S.E. Cup. There they go. There again. They're completely wrong about everything. Hey, you want to hear the other things that MSNBC's been wrong about? I have a little montage for you here.
Start your tape right now because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth.
What's that?
This version of Biden,
yes,
intellectually, yes, analytically, is the best Biden ever.
Not— 4 more years. Pause.
Not a close second, and I've known him for years.
Being able to hop from person to person to person.
Yes.
Potentially mutating and becoming more virulent and drug resistant along the way.
Yeah, like
now
you.
We know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person.
Rally station. There are fires burning in different directions around me. There's another fire over there. You can see from the aerial shots. And to your point a moment ago, I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not generally speaking unruly.
But sir, you believe the president right now has been an agent of the Russians?
Yes, I think there's more evidence than he
agent.
Is. Yes, and I think all the arrows point in that direction, and I haven't seen a single piece of evidence that he's not.
An agent like in the 1940s where he had people who were reds, to use an old term, like that. In other words, working for a foreign power.
He's working on behalf of the Russians, yeah.
Okay. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus. The virus does not infect them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else.
Literally, the only people die are the unvaccinated. And for those of you spreading misinformation, shame on you.
Shame on you.
Shame on you.
Shame on you. Shame on your hairpiece.
It cannot use a vaccinated person.
Yeah, they're always wrong about everything. That's why they're going to fade into the dustbin of history. MSNBC is such a joke. Yeah, Department of Energy announced a final rule which requires federal agencies to phase out and ultimately eliminate on-site use of fossil fuels starting in 2020. New federal buildings constructed after 2030 will not be allowed to have the natural gas hookups required to power gas stoves and other appliances. It's a joke. It's a friggin' joke. Ahead of the 2030 mandate, the rule will require new buildings and those undergoing significant renovations between 2025 and 2029 to reduce fossil fuels by 90%, even though this is the cleanest burning fuel available other than nuclear, and we're sitting on oceans of it. And then there's this. Did you hear about this? The Joe Biden may declare a climate emergency in this country. Yeah, because, you know, when there's an emergency, you got to take control of everything. That's the way it generally works, right? You take control of everything. And so this is what they're thinking about doing. I would venture to say that if Joe Biden tries this before the election, the country explodes. Because if you thought that the farmers' protests with the tractors going into Perry and dumping feces, if this would happen, I would love to see that happen in this country. I'd like to see farmers from across the country go to Washington, D.C., bring their tractors, and shut that down. But I want you to listen to Mark Morano with what the administration is considering doing based on nothing.
Well, I mean, this is the serious story of the today. NBC News has reported that if Joe Biden declares a national climate emergency, he would have COVID-like powers under that emergency, and they also compared the emergency powers to the 9/11 emergency powers. The Center for Biological Diversity has estimated Joe Biden would get about 130 wartime-like powers by which to bypass democracy and impose the Green New Deal on America without a single vote of Congress. This is truly this should be a Halloween story, not a story for Earth Day. This is a truly frightening story, and he might just be desperate enough to do it. This is being widely reported in the media. The Biden White House is leaking this out. This might happen, and this is going to give Joe Biden these kind of, you want to say the word, dictatorial powers. He doesn't need no stinking democracy to impose the Green New Deal if he does this.
Yeah, that's what they're thinking about doing. Based on absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. By the way, Pope Francis is down with climate change. This is why he's not my pope, by the way. I refuse to admit that that Pope is my Pope. He ain't my Pope. Ain't my Pope. Let's go to Chris in Fortress, Fort Worth. Hello there, Chris. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's on your mind today?
Here in Fortress, Fort Worth, I got some good news.
What?
Greg Abbott is arresting the students down at the University of Texas in Austin.
Yes, yes.
That's good news. We, at least somebody has the nerve to pull some harsh measures on these radical protesters.
Yes, sir.
But, you know,
yes,
it leads me to another quick question, and what do you think about this? And back in the 50s, 60s, even 70s, we used to use tear gas and rubber bullets to burst crowds. And now it seems like only the Capitol Police and FBI can throw flash bombs and that stuff at peaceful protesters. But why can't we get water cannon, rubber bullets, and Byrna tear gas pistols and rifles to our National Guard here in Texas to fire across the border? Get away from this wall. Why can't we do that?
I think it's just a matter of a will, to be quite honest. There's also some probably restrictions with regard to the federal government. I'm all about, and what I've said when Donald Trump is the president again, is that we send in special forces, paint targets, blow away these manufacturing facilities where they make it fentanyl, blow away these drug lords' homes, go after federal agencies, maybe even blow up some of those buildings. As far as firing on civilians, I think if anything, it's more of a visual they don't want to have. They're doing what they can with what they have on the southern border by arresting people, by constructing razor ribbon, and all of these things. So I don't know exactly the ruminations or the law with regard to defending a southern border or with regard to a student protest on campus that involved threatening acts against a group of individuals. As far as that's concerned, water cannons, flashbang grenades, tear gas, the whole deal, then expel those who have been involved entirely from the university. Those kids who are not citizens, you go back to your hellhole country, and those who are a citizen of the United States, go back home and live in your mommy and daddy's basement. But as far as the southern border and using those tactics, I'm really not sure, bro.
Well, it's just we can't act politically correct anymore. We're in being
invaded. Oh, I know.
I don't want women and children to be harmed, but sometimes things happen. But we need to get these people to understand, you cross that river, you're going to get water cannon. That won't kill you, at least.
Yeah.
But a water cannon and a little tear gas, as long as the wind's blowing the right way, not to come back at us. You know? Say, look, no, these things won't happen unless Trump's president.
Absolutely.
I pray for him every day. I pray for this nation every day.
Yep. You know, we're going to win, bro. We're going to win. Listen, I got to run. I got to run. Oklahoma, I've got some news on Oklahoma with regard to illegals. This is something I've said with Republican-run states around the country. Boot every illegal out of the state. Send them to a blue state or send them back home. And Oklahoma's taking a step in that direction. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show.
It's time to make common sense common again. It's the Rob Carson Show.
So, the share of Americans who say they want mass deportations, 51% of all of us. So, a majority of Americans want mass deportations after this this wide-open border caused by Joe Biden in an attempt to basically collapse the country as founded and also bring in a whole lot of Democrat voters. As far as ethnicity, 56% of whites, 45% of Latinos. I know. You know, the Democrat Party thinks because you have brown skin that you'll be down with illegal immigration. Not the case. No, sirree, not the case. I was even talking to the foreman on the crew working on my house. He's a Latino, and he is not down with illegal immigration. No. He came here legal, and by the way, the crew working on my house, Alberto, trying to remember the other two guys' names, busting their butts, doing a great job. I've been having wonderful conversations with them with Google Translate. And they are not down with illegal immigration, but I'm going to tell you one thing they do. They come here to work, and they come here to dream, and they come here while today they're installing the drywall, and today they're installing the plumbing, and today they're installing the insulation, and today they're driving the F-350. They hope that one day they're going to be the foreman on that crew, and then they're going to own their own company. And on the side of the truck, it's going to say Gonzalez wall, drywall or whatever, and they're going to own the F-350. I get that from them, and it's beautiful. It is beautiful. Absolutely 100%. I love meeting people who dream and haven't given up on the American dream. And most of those people come from outside of the country. Except for those Chinese military-age males who are sneaking across the border who want to destroy the country. And the ones from Turkey and the ones from Iran and all that stuff, yeah. As far as affiliation is concerned, believe it or not, Republicans, 68% of us. Independents, 46% of us. Democrats, what? 42% of Democrats. Uh-oh, that doesn't sound like a winning issue for old Joe Biden, old Jose Biden there. Boomers, hey, 60%. Gen Xers, like moi, 53%. Millennials, 48%. Gen Z, 35%. Are cool with deportaciones. I know I'm using the Hispanic. I should learn how to speak Chinese. Oklahoma. Legislators joined their neighbor Texas passing a law to bar illegal immigrants from the state. That sounds extreme. Well, you know what? Extreme times call for extreme measures. Person commits an impermissible occupation in the state, is an alien and willfully and without permission enters and remains in the state of Oklahoma without being first obtaining legal authorization to enter the United States. You go bye-bye. This is how they do it in Mexico, by the way. If I sneaked across the border in Mexico, if I demanded a free hotel room and complained when I got booted after 6 months, they'd go, hey, you're going to go to jail, and then you're going to get deported. Weird how that happens. After a Texas law that would prohibit sanctuary cities stalled in federal court earlier this year, Oklahoma lawmakers say they feel it has now become their responsibility to keep illegal immigration out of the state. And what I would recommend, and I think this would be a good idea, you remove all illegals and you send them either back across the border or to a Democrat state. They're on the verge of collapse. Make them collapse. Let them know the follies of their ways. Hell yeah. And if you vote Democrat in those states, tough bleep said the kitty. Yeah. If caught, an individual will face a misdemeanor charge resulting in up to 1 year in county jail, $500 fine. Second conviction. Person will be charged with a felony and face up to 2 years of jail plus a $1,000 fine. Both require the undocumented immigrant to leave Oklahoma within 72 hours of their release from custody. Wow. Yeah, desperate times call for desperate measures. Oh. Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of San Antonio defending itself after becoming the target of critics who claim that it is improperly using federal funds to buy airfare for illegal aliens to fly to their choice of destinations. This is why I don't support Catholic Charities. Yeah, I don't. Hell no. And I'm Catholic and everything. But no. They're crooked as the day is long. Like most of these, allegedly crooked as the day is long. Like most of these NGOs are. They don't give a crap what happens to the country as long as they line their pockets. As long as they give the illegals the minimum and take the maximum from the government, that's all they care about. That's why in New York City, they have literally a tent city where it costs $20,000 a month to give a cot to an illegal. And they pocket the rest. Isn't that just how it happens? Yeah, that's exactly how it happens. Catholic Charities of San Antonio admitted that it had been allotted $10.8 million in funding to care for migrants in the area and that it used the funds to buy plane tickets for illegals. There you go. So Jose Antonio Fernandez, CEO of Catholic Charities, insists that the airfare purchases were perfectly in line with the limits of the funding rules. Fernandez told the Catholic News Agency that the emergency food and shelter programs FEMA grant given to this organization clearly stated that you could provide transportation. The funds were given to provide food, clothing, and these activities, including transportation. These NGOs are getting filthy, filthy, filthy rotten rich, and they provide the minima for the people coming across the border, providing the maximum for their organizations, and it is ridiculous. Ridiculous. And then a federal government and state officials ought to rebuild America's heartland. This, according to the Washington Post, send all the illegals to the Midwest. I hate to tell you this, people of color, people from across the southern border have been coming to the Midwest for years. I worked with them in fields back in the 80s. Yeah. So as far as just sending them to the Midwest, guess what? We're already a melting pot of workers. Let's go ahead and take a break. Coming up, one of the Secret Service agents for Kamala Harris has lost it, and wouldn't you? And then also the posthumous persecution of Ashley Babbitt on the way. I'm always up for some Led Zeppelin. Man, one of the few groups that I never get tired of their music. It's just so good. Just amazing, amazing, amazing. I always, I listen to a lot of Zeppelin. There's a band, if you haven't heard, it's Greta Von Fleet. And these guys are some young guys who put together this band, and they are very similar sounding to Led Zeppelin. And they're incredibly talented. They really, really are. They don't have the spark and genius that Zeppelin did. That Zeppelin was just, there's something about the magic of Zeppelin. I can't explain it. And the reason why the Zeppelin is so, I hold them with such high regard. If you listen to A Whole Lot of Love, that song came out in 1969. I believe it was Led Zeppelin II. And it's still my favorite song. When I got my truck, Buck, My Bronco, I put a sound system, first sound system I put in a car since I was in high school. It was the first song I listened to because I remember when I was four, sneaking into my sister's room, putting on her Koss headphones and listening to Led Zeppelin II, Black Sabbath Paranoid, Joe Cocker, what else? She listened to cool music, and I've never gotten over Led Zeppelin. And that song, Whole Lot of Love, changed the world as far as rock and roll. It changed rock and roll. Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, changed rock and roll. That's why Whole Lot of Love is my favorite song. It was revolutionary to anything that they had considered rock and roll previously. That said, let's talk about the news of the day. I bring up music because, listen, I did music radio for 20 years of my life. Every day. And every day I'd get off of work and I'd be like, the last thing I wanted to do was listen to music. Because it's like, you know, you work at Taco Bell. Do you really want to eat Taco Bell when you get done? But now I love it, man. I listen to so much music. I'm discovering all sorts of artists. I'm listening to hip-hop, and they're really good hip-hop, by the way. There's really good hip-hop. Gen X was like they did genius stuff with sampling in the early days of hip-hop, from MWA to Biggie to all of these. It's remarkable. It really is. It's remarkable. I just love music. I love music. It's such a big part of my life. And you should make it a part of your life because, man, I'm going to tell you, Even some of the new country. Oh, my God, there's some good country out right now. Yeah, the Chris Stapleton. Woo, woo. Oh, my God. Okay. Not a big surprise. Secret Service officer protecting Kamala Harris comes close to blows with other agents at Joint Base Andrews. You'd go crazy, too, if you had to work with this every day. Officer Jones, I notice your eye is twitching. Are you okay? I'm fine, sir. Officer, you're sure you're okay? Now both eyes are kind of flicking a little bit. Officer Jones, are you okay? All right, never mind. Could you imagine you standing there, you're wearing the dark glasses, you got the earpiece, and you got to listen to that in the other ear? You'd lose your nut too, man. I mean, you just go bing. Secret Service agent tasked with protecting Kamala Harris brawled with several other agents. That doesn't happen very often. You know, I can take a bullet, but I can't take that voice. I just can't take it anymore. The altercation took place around 9 o'clock near Joint Base Andrews. Used to be called Andrews Air Force Base. On the outskirts of D.C., the agent in question, whose identity has not been revealed, was immediately removed from the assignment. U.S. Secret Service agent supporting the vice president's departure from Joint Base Andrews began displaying behavior their colleagues found distressing. Yeah. Medical personnel were called out of the scene. The agent had been at Andrews Air Force Base, I'm just going to say it, to support Harris's planned departure. Ultimately, the scuffle did not delay her travel. It was a medical matter. The department would not disclose further details. The agent who investigated the fight was armed and grew aggressive with others, according to the Washington Examiner. A detail shift supervisor and agent in charge pushed him to cool off, but the fight apparently broke out. And again, mostly because of... I think this is the sound of her voice, actually. It was the sound of her voice, and just this would cause you to go nuts.
Culture is...
I mean...
It is a reflection of our moment and our time, right? And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment. And we should always find times to express how we feel about the moment that is a reflection of joy, because, you know... It comes in the morning. We have to find ways to also express the way we feel about the moment in terms of just having language and a connection to how people are experiencing.
Yeah. I go nuts, too. This is a classic from Jim Gossett.
She's border czar but won't go to the border. From Mexico, she stays so very far. She doesn't seem to care about law and order.
Sing it with me.
Kamala. Responsibility, she's always shirking.
What rhymes with shirking?
Maybe she's relaxing in some spa. It's seldom that you'll ever see her working.
Oh.
Kamala. It's a mystery that Kamala could somehow become the VP. You know she wants to move into the White House.
Dear God.
She can't wait to become the left's new star. Disaster it would be. What a tragedy if somehow she became the president, Miss Kamala.
There you go. That is Jim Gossett with Kamala, Kamala, Kamala. There you go. If you want to help out Jim Gossett on his Patreon page, go to patreon.com and look up Jim Gossett Comedy, if you would. I think you'll enjoy what's there. And the cool thing is, one of the many cool things I might add, is that you will get an email every single day with regard to, the new songs. He'll just send you the new songs. You can have the new songs. You can share them with your friends. So, patreon.com, Jim Gossett Comedy. I think you should check it out and do that. All right, cool. Let's see what else I want to do here. I got a bunch of things I want to get to before the end of the show, and some I just don't have time to. I'm afraid I'm going to have to put a little bit off until tomorrow, unfortunately, because you know. There's been a lot of talk about possibility of Gavin Newsom becoming the candidate should Joe Biden not be the candidate. You know, we've got the Democrat National Convention coming up, which is going to make 1968 look like a Chuck E. Cheese birthday party. We know that. And it's going to be unbelievable. And Joe Biden, like he did yesterday, Joe Biden attempting to speak. And this is, I think, probably about one of the most epic examples of the fact that this president does have dementia. We've seen.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Four more years. Four more.
Yeah, the emperor is naked, and I said 3 years ago he wasn't going to be the candidate. So we will see if that holds true. So the possibility of Gavin Newsom becoming the candidate, that ain't going to work. It's not going to work. A couple of reasons. Gavin Newsom has been sinking money into the homeless crisis in California for now, well, since 2008. And every ounce of that money has been wasted. Every single ounce of that money has been wasted. And most recently, we find out that California has spent $24 billion on homeless programs to no avail. There's nothing. And I remember what I told you about Catholic Charities a little while ago. It's money down the drain. It's providing the minimum while getting the maximum from the federal government. And that's a shining example. Feds have showered California with billions and billions and billions of dollars. And this has been happening all over the country. And homeless is worse than it has ever been. Ever been. And then on top of this, listen to this in the state of California. And I mentioned this yesterday. Remember this? I said that California put together this 120-unit building for the homeless. It's going to include a mix of studio, one, two, and three-bedroom apartments, along with ground-floor retail. Who in the hell in retail is going to want to be on the lower level of a homeless encampment? Yeah, I'm going to put a California tortilla and a Starbucks right below the fentanyl dealer upstairs. $1 million a unit. Now, I don't know about you. Do you ever watch these shows like Tiny House Hunters? And you can get one of those little tiny houses. You can build a hell of a tiny house for 50 grand. You can build a hell of a tiny house for 50 grand. Why does the government need to spend $123 million on 122 apartments? It's because it's not their money. It's your money. And they don't give a crap. And this is in California. This is another boondoggle. And then on top of all of that, California cops, firefighters, and utility workers are earning up to $800,000 a year in overtime pay. We've heard this all over the country, overtime pay. And I got no problem with police officers making overtime pay. But this is ridiculous. San Francisco Sheriff Lieutenant Ronald Terry had a salary of $179,000. With $374,000 in overtime pay, he made $738,000 in 2022. Lyndon Gordon, electric foreman in Santa Clara, made $703,000 with $363,000 in overtime. Oakland Police Sergeant Timothy Dolan earned $700,000 with $376,000 in overtime. Wow. Since 2019, Dolan has earned almost $2.3 million and Gordon $2.2 million since 2019. Unbelievable. Overtime for California government workers has surged since 2019. On a per worker basis, overtime pay is up to 34% from 2019 to 2022. Yeah, this is why Donald Trump is the right choice for president, because it took a businessman to recognize how badly the government was being operated and would usher in some of the reforms necessary. Remember when he said for every new regulation, two had to go away? That's what we need. And as far as Gavin Newsom being the anointed next candidate, erasing all of the nonsense that he has done and the nonsense of the Democrat Party of the last 4 years at least, no. Don't hold your breath. Let's take a break and come back. This, my friends, is the Rob Carson Show. is Emory University in Atlanta. Some more of these pro-Hamas protests going on. These are AstroTurf. They started a little after October the 7th. I told you they were coming. They want to try and make 2024 into 2020 all over again. I've got a lot of requests for this audio blog that I wrote yesterday. I'm going to read it again for you about to put things in perspective with regard to what is going on at campus. We don't have to put up with this nonsense. So without further ado, let me do this as the last thing I do on the show today. My audio blog, which is entitled, Get Your Asses to Your Classes. Here it is. History has created a romanticized version of student protests. We recall the radical left taking over campuses like Berkeley in the 1960s. There were students at Tiananmen Square in a protest that proved unsuccessful, as the targets of the protests were essentially the protagonists of the 60s protests in the United States, and those communists don't like criticism. In places like East Berlin, Iran, Cuba, and China, student protesters put their freedom and their lives on the line. In America, there's no risk to the student. However, it is a platform for performance art and entitlement. One of the main reasons students protest so vociferously is they don't have a working understanding of history, no life experience, no full-time job. Hence, protesting is not as deleterious as it would be for the rest of us in the real world. As much as most of our lives have been completely about you, your lives, I should say, and that you're technically an adult, I must deal this cold, hard reality to you. You're in no position to demand anything. Congratulations, the biggest accomplishment in your life, other than extracurriculars, graduating from high school, which isn't an accomplishment, rather an expectation. You've done the minimum. Yay. You are, by and large, an ignoramus. This doesn't mean you're stupid. It's just you have zero life experience, consequently no understanding of history, and almost no consequences thus far for your actions, other than a few timeouts from your parents as children. The infantilization of your generation has been extended well into adulthood by liberal academia, but the fact remains the same. You're in no position to demand anything. You may think it is because you're camping out in the quad or occasionally you get to speak in a bullhorn for a few minutes that your movement is catching fire from coast to coast. The sycophantic media coverage you get from equally leftist media feeds your narcissism. The rest of the country sees you as an annoyance. You haven't paid your dues. You haven't paid any taxes, by and large. You're a seedling germinating, not yet a productive member of society. You're a baby bird in a nest who has a team of academic mother birds vomiting leftist pap into your eager mouths. There's no finer example of your childishly dangerous dupery than your protests in favor of Hamas and Palestine over Israel. You don your Palestinian kifa like the Democrats who wore kente cloths in the U.S. Capitol without regard to their meaning, but they are a useful prop to show you're down with the struggle. You side with the monsters who committed acts of barbarism the world hasn't seen in 1,000 years, but it's justified because the Israelis are colonizers on stolen land. You spew talking points like, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free without regard to its true meaning, which is the genocide of the Jewish people. Some of you hold banners that say Queers for Palestine, which is like saying Jews for Hitler's Germany. Your passion for the conceived victim is similar to that of a lonely woman falling in love with a death row prisoner. You cast aside his obvious desire to kill you with the hopes that you can change him. Maybe it's because he's behind bars and Hamas is on the other side of the world, so you can flirt with him without fear for your safety. If he were in the same room with you, he would do the same thing to you he did to the Israeli slaughter victims of October the 7th. This protest is different than any in American history because it embraces the same ideology as Hitler's brown shirts in 1930s Germany. The summer of 2020 was the left's Kristallnacht. January the 6th was the Reichstag. Now it's blossomed into full-blown anti-Semitism and promotion of genocide. America has been patient with you for far too long, and after the violence fomented by Black Lives Matter and Antifa, now you've treaded on territory that is forbidden. Lenin coined the phrase useful idiot. Hitler called the useful idiots brown shirts, and they did his bidding on college campuses. Both looked at young people with zero life experience as the most susceptible to mania and social contagion without the perspective of history or life experience. Balls of clay are much more malleable than a vase that has been cast by years of life. I have a suggestion for those on campus who believe they hold sway in converting this republic into a socialist utopia. Get your asses to your classes. The rest of us have lives to live and livings to make. Our patience has worn paper thin. And if your university administrators or parents won't correct your behavior, we will. There you go. That's the audio blog. It's on my Substack. I have a Substack page under Rob Carson Show. And I got that up there. And then also another one I did about a month ago. It's called The Madness of King Joe. And that one is about, I don't know, it's a 12-minute read if you're reading it out loud. So if you get a chance to subscribe to the, I'm not getting any money out of it. It's free. I pay for Taibbi Substack because Taibbi Substack's, you know, amazing. He's pretty awesome. Also, I want to mention this. Saturday, May 11th, at the Cub Hill Bible Presbyterian Church in Balmer, which is where my show is anchored, WCBM. They're holding this presentation with one of the mothers of a J6 political prisoner. Melissa Miller is going to be speaking there Saturday, May 11th at 12 o'clock at the Cub Hill Bible Presbyterian Church. And apparently her her presentation is remarkable, and that's going on. And I'll post all of this on social media. Let's take a break and come back, my friends. This is the Rob Carson Show. Newsmax is reporting that Donald Trump is going to hold massive rallies at Madison Square Garden. Oh, my goodness, that's epic. Guys, thank you for listening. Check out the podcast today for the audio blog and all the material that you enjoyed on the show today. Go to your favorite podcast platform for that or just ask Alexa. God bless you, America, and Israel. And until tomorrow, which is Friday, don't catch the stupid. I'll see you then.